This is what Christ did. Was quickened together with him, having forgiven us all trespasses. See, he forgave us of all our sins. And he blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way, you know, nailing it to his cross. And we find all of these things that Jesus took away from us. A lot of these curses is found in Deuteronomy 28. All those curses are found there. But we see that Jesus took them out and nailed them to his cross. And having spoiled principality and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Saints, we have been completely empowered and vindicated by Jesus Christ. He was anointed to deliver us, to restore us, and to present us faultless before his Father, God. God, Jesus have done so much for us. We need to take it upon ourselves to do the things that he called us to do. And just go back and read those scriptures of where Jesus nailed all of our sins and all of our sicknesses and diseases. He nailed it to the cross. And he took it upon himself so that we wouldn't have to. We need to know that demons and devils and evil spirits, you know, they're real. Satan is an evil spirit. And everything we see coming in our lives is sent by Satan. And all these things are evil spirits. You know, we talk about how we're to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. So when we see things that are coming to us that we know that's not of God, if it's bad, it's not of God. If it's evil, it's not of God. So we have to realize that these are evil spirits that are being sent to us. We know that everything has spirits connected to it. We know that we have supernatural weapons to fight with. And these powerful weapons will take down the strongholds and the evil spirits. It will take them all down. And it's in the name of Jesus. Vexation, which is irritation and an annoyance, such as rebellious children, you know, rush hour traffic, being cut off in traffic, bumper traffic, where they ride up on the back of your bumper, you know, late to work, and you know you're going to get chewed out by your boss, and all of these are evil spirits. Do you think that's a good spirit when he calls you in there to chew you out and threaten to fire you? That's evil, you know. These all seem like small things, but they cause frustration. They cause you to be upset. They cause stomach problems, migraine headaches, depression, irritability, and all this put pressure on you in your life in Christ Jesus. All these things, they're sent by Satan to put pressure on you so that you can start thinking, well, you know, if God was for me, why is all this happening? I've heard people say that a lot. Well, all this stuff, all this bad stuff is happening. Why is this happening to me? You know, why is God allowing this? God allow it. He can allow it. But he's trying to see if you can be strengthened. You know, can he trust you with his word? If you're going to back down every time some hard times come, God can't trust you. So sometimes he have to send, let these evil things come to see if you're going to back down. But I tell you what, he never put no more on you than you can stand.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree.
You died to save man, the teacher.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The Gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. The Spirit of the Lord this morning impressed upon me to just touch upon this from the subject, your Heavenly Father still cares for you. And it's important because in this day and time, what great reassurance the body of Christ needs. Because there are circumstances and situations, there are difficulties and dilemmas that we find ourselves in. And sometimes we wonder, is there anyone who still cares? Those saints used to sing a song, "Someone Who Cares, Someone to Share All of Your Troubles, Your Burdens, Like None Other." He'll come down from the sky, wipe the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. If you believe in, give him praise. Amen, amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, begin reading now. Okay, verse 7. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father still cares for us, you and me. Peter addresses this letter to the church. He deals with the shepherds, he deals with the elders, he deals with the leaders, and he even deals with the lay people, the young people, all of the entirety of the church. And he gives them great, great, great admonishment and exhortation in these first four verses. And in the fifth verse, he begins to tell the younger people to be subject unto the older or the elders. And he makes clear that even so, we must be subject one to another. So in verse 5 here, he's dealing with humility and harmonization. Humility and harmonization. Because one of the things we must understand is God is no respecter of persons. There are no big I's and no little U's in God's house. There are some he has elevated for the position of order and structure and given them authority to carry out those positions, but it is not so that they could lord over the people of God. Excuse me. And yet, it is important to recognize that we are to respect and to love and to honor one another. And so when we look at that verse, it's important for the church today to recognize that whether you're old, whether you're young, whether you're middle-aged, it is about the respect and the honor that we as children of the Most High God deserves one to another. It is about us recognizing and respecting, no matter what your title is outside these doors, when you come in these doors, we're all God's children. Amen. One Father's children, brothers and sisters of our Heavenly Father. And it's important to recognize that so we don't get the big head, so that we don't get lifted up in pride, because the Lord makes clear that He resists the proud, but yet He gives grace to the humble. He makes it clear, and I love this about Him, because one of the things you've got to know is the proud sometimes thinks they're untouchable. I might not be able to reach them. I might not be able to impact them. I might not be able to get an audience with them, but I got news for you. I know someone who can. And He resists the proud. Those who think they made it on their own, those who think that they got there by themselves, those who think that they are all of that because of their achievements and their accomplishments alone, and God gets no glory, and they try to take both the glory and the goods. God resists folk like that. But the folk who are humble, the folk who do what nobody else would do, the folk who bow themselves before the presence of Almighty God, thank Him for another day's journey, thank Him for the health and strength they have, thank Him for allowing Him to play even the smallest part in the program of God, those whom He sees with an humble spirit like that, He gives them grace. Grace. And I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you have the grace of God, then you have God's divine love, His divine presence, His divine peace, His divine power. All of that comes in His divine provisions to those of us who humble themselves and say, "Thy will, not my will." So as Peter writes this letter to the church, I want to just deal a couple principles in verses 6 and 7, and we're going to close this message out. Verse 6 says, humble, he continues on with this matter of humility. But I need you to see that this time, this verse includes two instructions. One is an exhortation from Peter, and the other is an exaltation from God. Let me say it again. It's an exhortation from Peter, and it's an exaltation from God. Here's the exhortation from Peter. Humble yourselves, therefore, where? What does your Bible say? Under the mighty hand of who? Not the pastor, not the deacons, not your lay leaders, not the prideful. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. But what is that talking about? It means being submissive to God's word, God's will, and God's way. The mighty hand of God is everything that God has placed in order and structured, so much so that we will know His word, His will, and His way, and to obey them, recognizing that when we honor the order, we honor the orderer. Let me say it again. When we learn how to follow instructions, obey orders, what we need to know, if God put it as a structure, if He put it as a standard, if He placed it as an orderly act that we must follow, even though it may come through man, if it's from God, when we honor it, we honor Him. Him. Humble yourselves. Listen, it doesn't matter who said it or who it came through. If God said it, that ought to settle it for us. You ain't the pastor. No, but what I have, God has already commanded us to follow, to obey. This is higher than the pastor. This is from our Heavenly Father. Whatever instruction, whatever His word says, whomever God has chosen to repeat what He has said means that God is going to back up His own word. And so he says, Peter, humble yourselves. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now, I like when he throws his word mighty in there, because he's letting you know that you can't get from under the mighty hand of God. His hand is too powerful. His hand is too strong. His hand is too far reaching. His hand is so mighty that there is none who can override His hand. That's why Jesus said, all those whom the Lord has placed in my hand, the devil can't pluck them out. And so he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That's the exhortation. But now listen at the exaltation. This comes from God. That He may, He who? That He who? Who is the He Peter's referring to? He's talking about that God, not that Peter might exalt you, not that some leader might exalt you, not that the boss might exalt you, but that God Himself might exalt you. Psalm 75 verse 6 and 7 tells us promotion comes from God. Doesn't come from the east, the west, the south. No. It comes from God Himself, who puts up one and sets down another. Listen, why? Because of His mighty hand. That's why you ought to be more impressed with impressing God rather than impressing man. Because man can say no, but when you impress God, God can say yes and override man's no. Has the Lord ever opened a door for you you know should not have been opened? Not if man had anything to do with it. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where nobody would help you, but you, excuse me, you called on the name of the Lord, and just in time, He stepped in and turned your situation around? How many times have we found ourselves at the mercy of God when man wouldn't do right by us? So he says, excuse me, That devil don't want this word to get out, but I'm gonna get it out if I got to scream it out, if I got to cough it out, if he got to choke it out. It's getting out. That he, God, may exalt. That's elevate you. That's lift you up. That's bring you from a low place to a high place. And God can do it. But my sinus is draining. I rebuke that devil in Jesus' name. But listen, when is he gonna do it? let me give you a simple answer. When he gets ready. if you just remember that God himself is going to exalt you, not in your time, not in someone else's time, or when they think God ought to exalt you, but God's going to do it in his time. Let me say this also to the saints. Don't you know that when God makes a promise, he's not a man that he should lie? That if he made a promise, he's gonna do just what he said he's gonna do? But here's what you need to know. God is not beholden to you for when he does it. God is under warrant to hold up his own word by his own word. Excuse me. And excuse me. Bless you. See, the old church, the old saints would have started, Lord, they would have given me time to get it together, but I'm dealing with a different group of people here now. Listen. In his time, in due time, when God says you are due what he promised you. Now you got to remember, God is working time according to his own authority. God doesn't make changes in his plan because they don't fit yours. Have I got a witness in the house? How many times have you said, God, well, listen, you need to hurry up because time is running out. What, do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the one who has time in his hand. Listen, he can rewind the clock. But listen, if he chooses not to rewind the clock, he can undo what the clock has done in its time. He ain't worried about time, because he's a God of eternity. In his frame reference, there is no such thing as time limits on him except those he imposed upon himself. And so we need to trust him that he knows when due season. How many times you thought you had to have it when you thought you had to have it, and if God had given it to you, you'd have blown it or messed it up because it was not the right time. And yet, when God sent it, I just want two or three witnesses who will say with me, Pastor, when he sent it, it was right on time. Hallelujah. So verse 5 talks about humility and harmonization. Verse 6 talks about exhortation and exaltation. But verse 7 talks about instruction and inspiration. Look at the instruction here. Casting all your care upon him. Peter said, that's the instruction. Stop trying to carry stuff you can't handle. Stop trying to carry stuff God didn't tell you to carry. Stop making stuff heavier than God intended it to be. Listen, his yoke is easy. If the yoke you got is choking you, you need to ask yourself, who put this yoke on me? Because he does not put more on you than you can bear. He doesn't put more on you than what. So if I got more on me than I can bear, then either the devil put it on me or I put it on myself. But guess what Peter says I can do? Look at the verb. It's an action word. I'm tired of having this burden weigh me down. I'm tired of waking up depressed. I'm tired of being oppressed. I'm tired of crying, pillow wet with tears. I'm tired of being sick and tired. Well, what you gonna do about it? Peter said, Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. I don't have to keep carrying this pain. I don't have to keep carrying this problem. I don't have to keep enduring these difficult things that God has not placed upon me or that he knows is now too much for me. So he gives me an instruction through Peter. Casting. And I like that he doesn't say cast, because that might be one time. But he say casting continuously. In other words, if I got so much on me today that I can't handle it, I can start casting it off me, casting it off me. But if I wake up tomorrow and make it halfway through tomorrow and I get bogged down and I say, wait a minute, the devil done put something on me that don't belong, I can still keep on casting all, not some, all, look at the now, care, my anxiety, my issues, my troubles, my burdens, anything that caused me to care with a burden, I can cast all of, not some of it. What are you carrying that you ought to be casting? See, I don't want to be like that fella long ago. I heard that song say, I've been down one time. Don't act like y'all don't know the song. And I've been down two times. And guess what he said he's doing? Now I'm drowning. See, that's what happens when you don't cast stuff off you. Y'all can act holier than thou if you want, but I'm trying to help somebody here who's drowning under a weight of care that they ought to be casting off of them. See, there are some things the Lord's not going to take from you. You've got to give it to him. Now listen, and I'm closing this part because it says, casting all your care upon who? Him, it's the same him of verse 6. He, him, it's God. Why? Because there are some things that we're carrying mama can't handle. Daddy can't handle. Your husband, your wife, your best friend, your sister, your brother, they can't handle. But how many of you know there is no